Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We don't have to go to church on Sunday to be saved. We don't have to be baptized to be saved. We don't have to keep sacraments to be saved. We don't have to go speak in tongues to be saved. All the things people say that you have to do to be saved, we don't have to. So then how come it says that his reward is with me to give to everyone according to their work? Because work is what you do after you're saved.
We are saved by grace through faith. It is completely a work of God. But after that happens, we are transformed. God changes us, and we have work to do for his eternal kingdom. Here comes our final teaching in the book of Revelation with Robert Furrow. If you missed any part of our series or you'd like to listen again, visit calvarytucson.com/teachings.
Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Now, we talked about what that quickly means. It means it's going to happen fast. And my reward is with me. The word reward can mean wages, to give to each according to his work. Now, we read things like that and we go, Jesus is going to reward me according to my work? I thought salvation was by grace through faith. I thought we asked him and invited him in and didn't do anything to be saved. We don't have to go to church on Sunday to be saved. We don't have to be baptized to be saved. We don't have to keep sacraments to be saved. We don't have to go speak in tongues to be saved. All the things people say that you have to do to be saved, we don't have to. So then how come it says that his reward is with me to give to everyone according to their work? Because work is what you do after you're saved. Think about Ephesians 8 and 9. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It is a free gift of God, lest anyone would boast. To walk in the works that God has preordained for us. Now, I'll read that verse in a little while exactly as is. I paraphrased it there. But God, when we are saved, we invite Jesus into our lives, and then we're transformed and we're changed and we're made into the child of God, and then we do the things God's called us to do. Think about this. Jesus said, if you give a glass of water to someone who is thirsty, you won't by no means lose your reward. You'll get a reward when you help someone who's hungry. You'll get a reward when you preach the gospel to people and tell them about Jesus Christ. There are things that you will do because you love Jesus. And he will give them according to their work. Now, we're going to stand before God in the day of judgment. I believe that because there's a passage in Corinthians, I should have looked it up so I could read it to you, that tells us that we're all going to stand before the Lord and be judged for the things that we have done, for our deeds. But here's the thing. My sins are not going to be remembered anymore. Because the Bible says God remembers my sin no more. So when I stand in front of him, I am only going to be rewarded for what I've done for him. Now, here's the problem. A lot of what I've done for him, I've done for me. I didn't do for him. You guys thought I was doing it for him, but I was really doing it for me. And I know you do the same thing. A lot of times we do things to be seen. Jesus said, when you do your good works, do them in such a way that when men see your good works, they glorify God in heaven. And a lot of times we just struggle with wanting people to think we're spiritual. We want people to think we're more spiritual than we are. I used to love when Pastor Chuck would talk about this because he talked about it in such a powerful way. And he would talk about how he had a desire for people to think that he was somebody special or somebody more spiritual. And I thought Chuck was somebody special and somebody more spiritual. And I realized I do the same thing. Sometimes I do things to be seen by men when I shouldn't be doing them to be seen by men. I should be doing it because God wants me to do it. So you might not receive a reward if you're not doing it for the right reasons. So you want to check them out. Now, the one speaking here now, Jesus, says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We know this is Jesus because he's going to say he is in a few minutes, okay? Now, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's God, right? So here Jesus says, I'm God. And by the way, Hebrews 1, God calls Jesus God. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, to which of the angels did he say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, God, your God has anointed you. So God calls him God in the scriptures. And the one you serve, the one you love, the one you know is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It says, blessed are those who do his commandments. Now this is the last of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hear and do the things in this book, was the sixth. Now, blessed are those who do his commandments. You want to live under a blessing? Then do the things the Bible says. Take yourself out from the blessing. Don't do the things the Bible says. Do the things Jesus said, and you live under a blessing. Don't do the things Jesus said, and you're not under a blessing. When we start a relationship with Him, we want to do the things He wants us to do because we love Him. This is 1 John 2, 4, and 5. He who says, I know Him, is that you guys? I know Him. Jesus said, away from me, I never knew you. So you have to know Him to get into heaven. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. You say, I love Jesus, I know Him, but I'm not going to keep His commandments. And by the way, not all the commandments of Jesus are easy to follow. There's a lot of things that Jesus said about the way we should live. He goes on to say, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. If you're one who keeps the word of God, the words of Jesus, the love of God is being perfected in you. That means that God's working inside of you day by day. By this we know that we are in Him. I get the question often, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm genuinely saved? Maybe I'm not saved. And we do that because we fail. We fail and then we feel like, am I really saved if I failed? Well, God never said we wouldn't fail. It's not like you keep His commandments all the time. But God is doing a work inside of you and you're growing. You're becoming the person that God wants you to be if you have a real commitment with Him. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Why were these people going to lose heart? Because they were failing. Have you failed recently? Do you have behavioral issues that you're trying to get out of your life because God's been convicting you about it and you're failing at it? Don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. The mercies of God are new every morning. You ever blown it the day before? And you say, God, I'm sorry. I don't know why I do it. Help me. I confess my sin. You said you'd forgive me. And you go to bed with that pit in your gut, but you wake up in the morning and the pit's gone because the mercies of God are new every morning. And you're like, God has totally forgiven me, and you can sense it. Now, I know this is anecdotal, this is me, but I kind of think it happens to you too. I think you've got the same thing because God's mercies are new every morning. Our inner man is being renewed day by day while the outer man is perishing. And then it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look to the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, why doesn't God take our struggles away immediately? Why, when you get born again, doesn't just all of a sudden all your behavioral issues changes, and all of a sudden, I've heard people with testimonies, you know, I was an alcoholic, I drank all the time, and I gave my life to Jesus, I never drank again. And I believe God does that for some people. I believe that God wanted to show His power in them in that particular way. And I believe God does that. But that's not what God does with most of us. Most of us, we've got behavioral issues, and God's like, work it out. Walk in the Spirit. Read the Word. Love Him. Work it out. Delight in the Lord. Why does God do that? Because if God delivered you from your sin, let's put me in this place. If God delivered me from my sin completely and totally the moment I gave my life to Christ, my head would be so big it couldn't fit through the door. I'd be standing in front of you guys going, I'm so blessed and spiritual because I never sinned since I gave my life to Christ. There's an Old Testament passage which says God did not drive all of the animals out of Canaan. He left bears and lions in Canaan because they needed it, it says. They needed the struggle. See, I need the struggle or I get prideful. I wish that weren't the case. See, I'm so sinful, I need the struggle. I don't want the struggle, but I'm so sinful, I need the struggle. But so are you. You're just like me. You're struggling as well. You want to give God that 100% purity and holiness, and that's predestined for you, by the way. Ephesians 1 says, the children of God are predestined to be holy and pure. You're predestined. I'm predestined to be holy and pure. How about that? And I love that thought. So are you. So it says, blessed are those who do His commandments. They may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. There's no other way to get in, by the way, but through the gates. And we enter into the city. Now we're back in the holy city of Jerusalem. Now this next verse is proof positive that dogs are not going to heaven. Okay? I know some of you guys have dogs. Some of you guys love your dogs. Some of you guys have lost a dog and you want that dog to be in heaven. You're always asking me about your dogs, whether or not they're in heaven. This tells us they're not, right? Because it just said that you go through the gate and enter in the city. But what does it say? Outside are the dogs. And you go, that's not what that means. Well, then what does it mean? How does a dog live? Dog lives for himself, right? I realize there's good qualities in animals, all right? And I do like dogs. But a dog's pretty much out for himself. You'd say, I trained my dog so he won't eat that piece of pie. Well, why don't you leave for 24 hours and come back and see what happens to that piece of pie? Dogs, if you've ever been around dogs, we spent some time down in Mexico and they had these wild dogs that were around there. And these guys' dogs are gross. Before we came to Christ, we were gross. We were living for our own desires, our own hearts. We were living for whatever we could get. We'd cut anybody else to get it. We'd cut off the puppies from getting a bowl of food in order to get it ourselves and run off with it the other way. That's what dogs do. But outside are the dogs. By the way, dogs may go to heaven, okay? Just so you know. They may be there. Your pet might be there in heaven. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I think God threw in that last one just in case you think it's not you. You click down. I'm not a dog. I'm not a sorcerer. I'm not sexually immoral. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an idolater. But I have loved and practiced a lie before. Because the Bible says, in truth, all men are liars and no women say amen. Because it's in the generic sense. In truth, all men are liars. We are all liars. We have all lied. So that's saying we need Christ to get into heaven. Works aren't going to get us in there. Anybody that does these things is outside of heaven. And this is what the law shows us. The kingdom of God is full of people who, like this, found forgiveness and love in Christ. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. So we were all those things. And God forgave us and brought us into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we never look down on anyone, no matter what lifestyle they have, because they can come to Christ. It's why we share Christ with them. It's why we tell them about the forgiveness that is within God, because this is our highest call. And we get that in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life is salvation. Take it freely. What does it say there? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Can you guys tell me who the bride is? The church. Yeah, it's us. The Spirit and the bride say, come. See, we're supposed to tell people about Jesus. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You have been given the keys to the kingdom, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And this is our purpose. The purpose for us? We have a commission. Go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey the things that I command you and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our commission. That's our vision. That's what we're about. That's what Calvary Tucson is supposed to do. We are supposed to say to people around us, come. What about your friends, your family, your coworkers, your acquaintances who don't know Christ? Do you care about them? Are you praying for them? Do you know that the Bible says you can't take anything away from this book, and that the Bible says those who don't know Christ are going to be thrown into the lake of fire? That's the destiny of your family, friends, coworkers, and acquaintances who don't know Jesus. Do you have a passion for souls? Are you afraid to tell people about Jesus? What's the worst that can happen? They're going to mock you? Blessed are you when they persecute you for my name's sake. Come on now. Jesus said that's a blessing. What's the worst thing that can happen? They say no and continue on in the way that they're going? Now, you don't have the responsibility to get anybody saved. The Bible says one man plants, another man waters, and God gives the increase. Pastors will ask me sometime, how can you give an altar call at every service? Aren't there altar calls where people don't get saved? See, they're afraid to give an altar call because someone might not raise their hand, as if that's their failure. But if I give you an altar call and there's someone here who doesn't respond to that altar call, that's not my failure. That's them not responding. And so they said to me, I had one pastor say to me, well, what do you say if you get to the end of an altar call and nobody raised their hands? I said, I say, unbow your heads with me, please. You know? But hey, I don't have any shame there. That's not a failure. That's me doing what I'm called to do. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So I was saying to people, come, give your life to Christ. And by the way, people who say, and oftentimes this is Calvinist, and if you're a Calvinist, I'm sorry, but this is just true. They say that altar calls are not biblical and that we shouldn't be telling people to come. How can you say that? The Spirit and the bride say, come. They say that the Bible never says to invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And listen, it never says those words together. Invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. But the Bible says, if you receive Jesus, you'll become a child of God to those who believe in his name. So you receive him, not into your heart. The Bible says that you're to give your heart to him. So it might not say invite Jesus into your heart, but it says that you're supposed to live for him with all of your heart and you're to receive him and that he's to be your Lord and Savior. What's he not going to be your Lord? He's not going to be your Savior? Why are you so critical when we're taking something that can be put together in the Bible completely and say invite Jesus in to be your Lord and Savior? You think we shouldn't do that? I'm afraid, and I don't want to go into an anti-Calvinist bent, but I'm afraid it's because they don't believe people have a choice anyway. So why would you tell people about Jesus? I think to some degree, I want to be nice. I think to some degree it puts them to shame when we do it. Because we're telling people to come. Come to Christ. Give your life to him. Care about people who are perishing. That's what we're about. That's what you're about. Not just the church. It's not just what we do. Invite your friends, family, coworkers, and acquaintances to church. I'll give them an altar call. But also look for a door to open to share with them. And maybe step through a door. Maybe tell them one time in a vulnerable moment, hey, I love you, and I don't want to see you perish. Jesus died on the cross for you, and if you receive him, all your sins can be forgiven. My favorite question for getting into a conversation about God is, do you believe in the afterlife? You can steal it and use it. Ask your grandma, do you believe in the afterlife? What's going to happen when you're there? Can I tell you, Grandma, what the Bible says? Just what's the worst that can happen? Grandma will say, get out. She won't say, get out. She'll say, eat another piece of pie. Don't talk to me that way. Eat another piece of pie. That's what Grandma's going to say. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him come. Drink of the water freely. For I testify to you that anyone who hears the words in the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, he will add to him the plagues written in the book. Now, by the very way it's stated, it's talking about the book of Revelation. The plagues of this book are going to be applied to you, but I apply it to the entire Bible because Paul said this in Galatians 1:8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So I believe this is about the entire, you can't add to the word of God. You don't preach anything the Bible hasn't said. If anybody adds to this book, it's going to be added to them. We don't add nothing to it. Don't do it. I'm going to stop there. I was going to keep rhyming, but I'll stop. Verse 19, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away of his part of the book of life and the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This book may be hard to understand. And how many pastors in the past have said, this book really isn't about what this book is about. If you take away from this book, then your life is going to be taken away. Now this, I think I can make the case for the entire scriptures as well. We don't add to it and we don't take it away. Paul said, I have given you everything I'm supposed to give you. I want to preach the word of God in its entirety and I want to leave no doctrine out. I want to cover it, whether it's easy to hear or hard to hear. I want to cover everything that's there. And we want it. Verse 20, he who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Now, why would he say that again there? He said it enough. We're getting to the last of the last words. You've got to be ready because you aren't going to have a warning. Jesus said, you don't know when I'm going to return, so you have to be ready. There's going to be no warning. You're not going to be able to get yourself right. You got to be ready. You got to get ready and stay ready. Now, John is so moved at this point. He says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then he ends with this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I love the ending. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What is it about grace? Grace is undeserved favor. But what else is it about grace? We have been saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So he ends with the grace of God be with you all. He's saying, would you all find salvation? Would the grace of God be with all of you? If you're playing a game, if you're pretending, if you're a Christian around one group of people, if you're a non-believer around another group of people, what person are you? You got to get it right. You can't keep living that way. You have to stand solidly for him. I have three things in closing. Number one, the first and highest calling is to live Christ so others see Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's higher than any other call, and we ought to love any person that's out there, Democrat or Republican, that we want them to come to Christ. We love them, and we pray for them, and we call out their name before God, and we look for an opportunity to share, even if you feel uncomfortable about doing it. Number two, God's word is faithful and true. Stay committed. Do the things written in it. Be committed to the word of God. God, you speak it, I'll do it. Now, I might not always do it, but God will forgive me. He's got forgiveness, but I want to do it. And I want to do it now, completely, without failures. The more we want that, the more day by day, the inner man will be changed. Number three, if you've never given your life to Christ, now's the time. This is what we're about. This is what the church is about. It's not about anything else. It's not about bake sales. It's not about anything else that we might do. It's about people coming to Christ. And if you've been playing a game, then come to him tonight. And if you're here visiting with us going, wow, can't believe this is the message, understand that God is calling your life and he chose you to be here tonight so you could hear this. And I say, this is your moment. And I say that often at altar calls, this is your moment. And what I mean by this is your moment, I don't mean this is your moment to get saved. I mean, this is your moment to make a choice, because you don't know that you'll ever have that choice again. If today you hear God knocking on the door, then answer, because he might not knock on the door again. This is your day when you can say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will be your disciple. I'll now be about you. I'll live for you and not for myself. I'll deny myself and I'll live for you.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.